listening to the scoreboard here in the new 5 o'clock time period. If you were looking for the news drive at 5, I'm sorry to tell you it has been tabled, and you got to listen to the sports update. It is what it is. So I'll be here for the next hour chatting with you about your local, regional, national sports, high school, all the way up to pros. Anything that you could think of, we'll talk about it. And if you have something you want to talk about, 844-STUDIO-4. That's 844-788-3464. I've mentioned in the past that if you're listening and I don't cover something locally that you want to shout out or you think should be shouted out, call me up and let me know and we'll shout it out. Because everybody deserves to, you know, get a little bit of love in the sports world. Too much hate in the sports world. Last night, big day in women's basketball. We had a rematch of last year's championship game. Iowa taking on LSU, a 1-3. And the night game, UConn versus USC. USC, the correct USC. Yes, I will say this. I don't care who's listening. USC is University of Southern California, not South Carolina. Sorry. Hate to break it to you. 844-STUDIO-4, that's 844-788-3464. If you've been listening to the show in the 6 o'clock hour, you probably know that we like to start things off with your high school updates. Well, spring break is a thing that is starting, and a lot of these schools aren't playing games over the rest of the week. Actually, I was looking into it right now. Lake Norman is playing Covenant Day School in the Jack Sink tournament. It's game number 2 in that tournament for them. As of right now, nobody has a game scheduled until next week, at least in baseball. Same with some tennis and lacrosse teams. It's spring break. Not a lot of these teams are going to be playing during that time period because school's out and you don't want to stay in one spot during spring break. No, you want to go to, I don't know. Where do people go for spring break nowadays? Florida, probably. Didn't Florida like say they don't want spring break people there? I don't know. This isn't news. This is not news. This is sports. 844 Studio 4. So right now, Covenant Day School and Lake Norman taking on each other. I don't have a score update for you on that. The game started around 4 o'clock, but it doesn't look like there is anybody that is live reporting the score of that game. So we will probably need to talk more about that tomorrow. So for today, and honestly, probably the rest of the week, we're going to change things up just a little bit around here. We're going to get more into the college and professional ranks, going deep into that, as well as, you know, NASCAR is still a thing that's going on. We just had a race on Sunday. We have one coming up this Sunday. Charlotte FC played on Saturday, and we talked about it last year. So remember, if you remember what happened to Charlotte FC last year, they were out of the playoffs, and all of a sudden they go to Leagues Cup, and they make it to the quarterfinals. Nobody expected that. I mean, Charlotte FC did not have a good year. They go to the quarterfinals in the Leagues Cup, and then they start making gains in the MLS standings. And we get towards the end of the season, they just keep getting 1 point here and 1 point there. And the only reason they were getting 1 point is because they were notorious for giving up either the equalizer or game-winning goal in the second half. Well, it happened again this weekend as Charlotte FC gave up a game-tying goal in the 90th plus 2 minutes. 90th plus two. Stoppage time. And Charlotte FC gave up the equalizer. These points are big. Every single point in the season is big, especially at the beginning. You don't want to start off behind the eight ball and have to play catch-up, which is what Charlotte FC did last year, and they were able to get into the playoffs doing that, but it is not sustainable in the long run. We have some caller here all early into the program. Let's go ahead and take that. Caller, you are on the scoreboard. What do you got for me today?
This is Jim.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Good, with iCat.
All right.
Yolanda is off today.
Oh,
traffic. The traffic coming down was pretty good until I got to about 18 southbound on 77, and then it really started backing up.
Okay.
Going the other way, northbound out of Charlotte, 18 is a mess. People need to find an alternate route to get the exit 18 there. All I can say about that, but no incidents, no crashes, no highway patrol. Everything worked out pretty good.
Just seems like there's that backup near exit 18.
Yeah, that's a lot bigger than normal, so I don't know what's going on there. Maybe something at the intersection. It's not usually that long of a backup.
Okay, but everything else seems to be moving fine for us on this Tuesday, huh?
You're absolutely correct.
All right. Well, wonderful to hear. And hey, we appreciate you calling in with the update.
Oh, no problem. That's what we're here for.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And hope to hear from you guys. As always, that is ICATS with your traffic updates. 512. And if you're traveling on 77 near exit 18, you might want to look for an alternate route. More of a backup than usual down there. So there's your traffic update at the 5 o'clock hour. This is the scoreboard in its new time slot. And we do want to give you that traffic update because I know a lot of you listening might have just left work, or maybe you're already on the road. Maybe you're sitting in traffic at exit 18. Hey, if you're sitting in traffic right now, call me up, 844-788-3464. We're going to talk about quite a bit today. I'm going to get into the women's games from last night. We have I don't even know what to call it technically, but for the first time ever, I'll just let you know what's going on. For the first time ever, two schools have the men's and women's team in the Final Four. Never happened before. UConn has their men and women's team in the Final Four. And NC State has their men's and women's team in the Final Four, as the women's team was able to take down Oregon State on Sunday to move. NC State was able to take down Texas on Sunday to move to the Final Four. Women's Final Four games are coming up on Friday. You'll have NC State versus South Carolina, and then UConn and Iowa. These are going to be good games. We're going to get into the NCAA, the men's, the women's. We also have some more NASCAR for you, as we always do. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to The Scoreboard, 844-788-3464. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
More of Sports Director Joe Berg's The Scoreboard is coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to The Scoreboard, 844-788-3464. Real quick, I do want to give you an update on the North Carolina baseball rankings. Not the national rankings, just the North Carolina rankings in general. Wesleyan Christian Academy up in High Point is now the number one ranked team in North Carolina for baseball. South Mech has moved up. South Mech is now the sixth best team in North Carolina, jumping three spots. Wayne Country Day, they were the number one team in the country. They have now dropped to ninth in the state of North Carolina. Cox Mill is up there in the top 20. Charlotte Christian as well, still having a pretty good year. Myers Park, Providence, there are a lot of Charlotte area schools that are having a good baseball year, and actually as well as even a little bit farther north than Charlotte. We've been talking about Lake Norman. They are ranked 67th in the state of North Carolina, so some good teams in the area, maybe even just outside of our listening area, but there is a lot of good high school baseball going on. Unfortunately, we do have a little bit of a break in the action with high school sports, but Lake Norman, like I told you to start the show, they are playing right now against Covenant Day in that Jim Sink tournament. I still don't have a score update for you. I've been looking for it. During the break there, I was looking for an update, but I wasn't able to find one. So we'll probably have to talk more about that game tomorrow as, man, Lake Norman, they have been on a tear lately. They started the year 1-4. 1-4 is not a good way to start your baseball season. Well, seems like they've been able to turn it around as right now, sitting on the heels of a 9-game winning streak, Lake Norman has upped their record to 10-4. They're 5-1 in that Greater Metro 4A conference, which is that weird conference I've been telling you about here, where the bottom three haven't won a game and the top three have combined for like a 17-1 record. It is a wild, wild conference there. Anyway, I told you we'd be talking some NCAA basketball. I am going to start with last night's games, Iowa taking on LSU. That is the first game of the night. And it's a rematch of the championship game from last year as Angel Reese and LSU won that championship last year. Caitlin Clark, you've definitely heard me say that name before. 41 points in the win against LSU. The team as a whole scored 94. Almost half her team's points. 41 points, 7 rebounds, 12 assists. By the way, Angel Reese over on LSU, 17 points, 20 rebounds. Yet LSU falling short 94-87. And that was probably a game that the NCAA was hoping took place. I personally wish they would have changed the brackets up a little bit, because there is a little bit of, and I want to be careful with what I'm saying here, because you hear a lot nowadays of, oh, the NFL's scripted. They know the outcome. It's like the WWE now. They know what's going to happen before they go out there. And I don't want to use the word in that sense, but the LSU and Iowa matchup was kind of, in a way, scripted. The NCAA was hoping that those two teams would continue to win and meet each other in this Elite Eight matchup up in Albany. But me personally, I would have been more of a fan if they would have maybe separated them in the brackets just a little bit. A Final Four matchup would have been better, in my opinion. I don't think they should have completely separated them to where if LSU and Iowa won out, they would rematch in the championship game. I personally think it would have been better to separate them to be a Final Four matchup. And that's what I mean by they scripted it a little bit. You know, the NCAA and the committee, when they make the bracket, they can choose who is in what side of the bracket. You have the East, the West, the Northeast, the Midwest bracket. And they can kind of, they're trying to, at least this is what they said for the men's, is they were trying to keep the one seeds and the two seeds as close to home as possible, which is okay. But when you have storylines like this, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Paige Buechers, we're going to get to see a great game on Friday, because Iowa's got to take on UConn and Paige Buechers. That's going to be a good game. And I really hope that there are people out there listening and tuning in to women's college basketball, because it is exciting. It really is. And I don't know if you would have heard that 10 years ago, that women's college basketball is extremely exciting. No, it might be more, there might be more storylines with the women's tournament than the men's tournament right now. You know the main storylines of the men's tournament. Oh, Purdue lost to a 16 seed last year. They had Zach Edey and they lost. Oh, UConn, they won the championship last year. They went to the transfer portal for a brand new team, and here they are in the Final Four. But in the women's tournament, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, these are storylines here. With that, that's a rematch. South Carolina, 36-0. UConn, NC State, they're in it too. I'm just saying. We have a caller into the studio here. Let's go ahead and take that. Caller, you're on the scoreboard. How can I help you today?
Well, good afternoon, Joe. Good afternoon. Got the 5 o'clock spot now, huh?
Yeah, they moved up a little bit, huh?
Moving on up. You're like the Jeffersons there. Yeah.
What do you got for me today?
Hey, no, yeah, I was just going to comment there about the women's games last night. I watched the second half of the Iowa game. We've been watching a lot of basketball. My daughter-in-law, she played high school ball, so she's really into kind of watching the ladies' games. So we've been watching that a lot. But yeah, it was a really good game last night. Even the UConn game, I'd filled out a bracket ahead of time, one of those CBS brackets before the women started. And I think I've gotten 53 out of the 60 games or something they played so far. Ooh. Which, you know, usually it's the, you know, the better seeded team that typically has been winning, which, you know, that's kind of how the men's used to be years ago. But it's not quite as much parity now. But now that it's getting down to the last, you know, final eight and final four games, it'll be, you know, a little more competitive, have some upsets. But I did pick UConn because those girls are always spot on, even though they've had a bunch of injuries and stuff. But yeah, that Caitlin Clark, she's just something else. I mean, she's just a bucket getter. I mean, I think she could play on some NBA men's teams. I mean, she is just, you know, something else.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. She could shine anywhere. And you know what? I don't know if anybody saw the story about the Big Three, the basketball league, Big Three. They offered Caitlin Clark a $5 million contract to come there.
Wow. And,
which is significantly more than what she would get as the number one overall pick in the WNBA. That just goes to show you how much talent, number one, how much talent she has, but also women's college basketball and women's basketball and the girls' game in general is on the rise, and it is starting to gain the respect of fans everywhere, which I love, and I really think it should be more of a spotlight. But yeah, that UConn team, they're like a well-oiled machine at times.
Oh yeah, yeah, and they've had like four or five players, I think, that went down throughout the year and not able to play, but they still just plug the right next person in and just keep going, you know. I mean, it's pretty amazing what he's able to do with his teams. But yeah, no, it's interesting. I've got, I think, South Carolina and Iowa picked in the finals with South Carolina winning it. They just seem so dominant. But, you know, anything can happen. I mean, maybe they can pull the upset, but that South Carolina team is just, you know, hadn't been beat yet and just, you know, unreal at times.
It's hard to bet against a team that has gone through an entire season and hasn't lost a game.
Yeah, not that they can't be beat, but, you know, that's just probably not likely. But, you know, anybody, I mean, that Iowa could have a really good game. I mean, they've got some really good players, too, that, you know, Caitlin's the go-to. But, I mean, she's had a bunch of assists. I think she had did she have a double-double last night
she
with
did.
Assists, too?
She did.
Yeah, so she's just, you know, makes her team better, not just that she's a great player, but makes all the other players even that much more,
you know,
competitive, so.
And you're right about that. She might lead the team in basically every category, but there are other players. Kate Martin, the guard over there, is one that I would say is, you know, a good Batman and Robin type deal there. Maybe not to that extent, but you do need a good supporting cast. Otherwise, you're not going to go far.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, basketball is a team sport. I mean, you definitely got to have, you know, some go-to players that can pull their fair share as well. You know, everybody kind of knows what part they play and make it happen. So
yeah, and I completely agree. Well, hey, I'm coming up on the next commercial break here, so I'm gonna have to let you go, but I appreciate, as always, your call.
All right. right. Talk to you later, Joe.
Absolutely. And stay tuned for the remainder of the show. We still got some good things coming up. We're going to turn our attention to the men's side of things after the break, because I know more eyes are on the men's tournament, but I'm trying to get a little bit of momentum towards this women's game here, because I really wish that it was a main, everybody is looking at this, people are talking about it type game. But, you know, the men are still going to dominate in the rankings. They always have, and they probably will for a long time. So we'll recap what happened over the weekend with the men. Look forward to the weekend and the national championship games. Don't go anywhere. We're back after this.
More of Sports Director Joe Berg's The Scoreboard is coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Talk sports with Joe Berg. Call 844-STUDIO-4. It's The Scoreboard on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Listening to The Scoreboard here in the new 5 o'clock hour. 844-STUDIO-4. That's 844-788-3464. Call me up. We'll talk about sports. Anything you'd like to chat about. I did mention with that last call that Caitlin Clark was offered a contract to compete in the Big 3 League. Yes. It is a $5 million offer for Caitlin Clark. It's a lot more than what she would get in the WNBA, just so you know. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say she's going to do that, because I doubt it. She's going to go to the WNBA. But also, the contract's one thing. She's going to make a lot more money doing endorsements. That's for sure. That's where the money's going to be in the WNBA for now. And I've mentioned it before, I am a little bit concerned that once she gets to the WNBA, Caitlin Clark is just going to kind of disappear, because the WNBA as a league isn't very popular, but it's still yet to be seen. Let's move on from the women's league and get to the men's side of things, because we have an 11 seed in the Final Four. The NC State Wolfpack. I don't think anybody saw this coming. And if you look back, look way back to before NC State won the ACC championship against North Carolina, look back to the semifinal game where they played Virginia. Just, do you remember what happened? Game went to overtime after a three-pointer right at the buzzer. A bank shot goes in. Nobody thought that was going to happen. A bank shot at the buzzer, 4-3, goes in, sends NC State to overtime again for against Virginia. And, well, the rest now is history. And we are in the middle of a historic run. I mean, this is, NC State wasn't supposed to make the tournament. They weren't supposed to be here. Yet here they are in the Final Four. And this is the matchup I wanted. Once NC State started winning and it looked like there was actually a chance for them to go far, I was like, man, wouldn't it be really awesome if we could get an NC State-Purdue game and we could see DJ Horn taking on Zach Edey? Well, that's exactly what we got coming up on Saturday. NC State Wolfpack taking on the Purdue Boilermakers. That game is going to be at 6 o'clock. And then following that, you have UConn. Oh, my goodness. What to say about UConn? Is there anything to say about them? Dominant team, maybe? That's about all you can say? I mean, just look at the Elite Eight game against Tennessee. I never, since I have been paying attention to basketball, I have never heard of a 30-0 run You're telling me UConn scored 30 consecutive points? That's exactly what they did. And they're not a flashy team. They're a well-rounded team, a well-coached team at that. And they just do everything right. So Dan Hurley, the head coach over there, looking to get his second championship in a row. Last time we had a repeat champion in the NCAA men's tournament was the Florida Gators back in the 07 season. I wouldn't be surprised at this point. And also, we talk about coaches in college basketball. And we just lost a couple a few years ago. Coach K at Duke, we lost him. Dean Smith, we lost him, and he's not coaching anymore either. Now you have Dan Hurley. And I'll tell you what, Dan Hurley might become the face of college basketball. He's a very good coach. I don't think he's going anywhere when you win a championship and then you go to the Final Four the next year. This was the first time since that repeat in 07 that the champion has gone to the Sweet 16 the next year. It doesn't happen a lot because you lose players. And this was very popular over like the last 10 years or so, where you would get a good team. Think of Duke over the past 10 years. They get a star, they go to the NBA. They get a star, they go to the NBA. Zion was the biggest star. He went to the NBA. Now, with NIL, you don't really have that ability to just bring in someone for a year, go win a championship, and then send him to the NBA. We saw what happened. Kentucky's still doing that. And, Kentucky basketball, they got booted in round one by Oakland. And John Calipari over there, he was one of the first ones to start with the one-and-done system where he'd bring someone in, send them to the NBA. I'm sure people remember him talking about how much money combined his players have made in the NCAA. That is funny right there. I'll see if I can find that one day. Maybe next year we'll pull it up during the tournament if Kentucky goes one-and-done again. I wouldn't be surprised. Unless they change something and get a little bit older. Because these teams that are good right now, they are not freshmen, all freshmen. No, they're older. I mean, we look at UConn's roster. Everybody's from the transfer portal there. Which means they've got a couple of years under their belt. And with NIL, it's going to make leaving college that much more difficult of a decision. Because let's say you're a late second round draft pick, or that's what you're projected. Why would you leave if you could make a little bit more money in college right now? Then why not? But the thing with the NBA where it gets weird, and I think the NBA is going to have to make a change and maybe up the age for the draft. Because you want to get to the NBA so you can get through your rookie contract. Because once you get through the rookie contract, you're going to make money. I mean, we see the contracts that are being thrown away or thrown around to the good players nowadays. $200-something million a year. Look at Lonzo Ball. He hasn't done anything. 53 games played in 2 years. He's making over $200 million. You want to get that rookie deal out of the way, so that you can start to make the real money. But the thing is, if you are making money in college, it's going to be a little bit harder for you to step away from that and go, okay, I'm going to go be a late round draft pick in the NBA, maybe not start right away. It's not a decision I would make personally. I'd probably go back to college and say, yeah, I'll come play another year of college. I'll make my NIL money. I'll be fine and get a little bit better. And hey, maybe I'll be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft. And that's what we're going to start to see, not only with basketball, but football, and we've already seen it with football. Texas, anybody? We remember what happened there? So NIL is changing the face of college basketball, and we've talked about that extensively in the past, where even in football, probably bigger in football. We're heading to our final break of the day here on this Tuesday, 844-STUDIO-4. That is the phone number. When we come back, we're going to shuffle things up a little bit. We're going to move the NCAA off to the side and say, we will see you on Friday when the games resume, because we don't have any games coming up right now. And we're going to get into NASCAR, maybe some NHL talk, and I'll give you an update on the Charlotte FC season. Don't go anywhere. One segment to go on this Tuesday. You're listening to The Scoreboard. We're back after this.
Keep it right here. We'll have more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg in just a moment. From 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
If you need home medical equipment, call Lowry Drug in Statesville. We have everything you need in stock, including portable oxygen concentrators, CPAPs, masks, lift chairs, wheelchairs, scooters, hospital beds, supplies, and anything else you need. Get it when you need it. Check out LowryDrug.com or call 704-873-2247. Lowry Drug, your hometown source since 1959, across from Iredell Memorial Hospital. We are worth the drive. Come see us.
It's The Scoreboard with your host, Sports Director Joe Berg, on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
All right, everyone. Final segment on The Scoreboard on this Tuesday. 844-STUDIO-4. It's 844-788-3464. It'll get you right here onto the program and part of The Scoreboard. Like I said, we're going to switch gears here. Ha ha ha. Ha 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 ha. We're going to talk some NASCAR. We did talk NASCAR a little bit yesterday. We saved it till the last segment, but I wanted to bring it back again today. Denny talked about, on his podcast, and of course he does, about the restart. The final restart of the race, Denny Hamlin the leader, Martin Truex Jr. on his outside. Now, I watched multiple times. I watched the replay of the restart from Martin Truex Jr.'s onboard camera. And every single time, I can promise you, he left early. He did. And I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say, no, I don't think he left early, because he did. And I listen to his podcast and I go, it's never, he says it's never been a hard line where, like, yeah, you have to restart inside that zone. That's news to me. Why do we even have a restart zone then? If it's subjective and it doesn't matter and yeah, you really don't have to go inside the restart zone, why do we have it? Why is it there? This is another instance, and I'm not mad about it. I'm just stating the fact. It is another instance where NASCAR is making it up as they go. I watched an interview with the NASCAR president of race control. They said it was fine. No problem. Elton Sawyer was like, nope. I don't have a problem with the restart. We looked at it and we determined it was fine. And I thought things were fishy when they started to show the replay and they weren't putting the miles per hour above the cars. You know what I'm talking about. Going down pit road, you see it all the time. When they're showing the distance between two cars, they'll always show you the live miles per hour. I'm not going to say it was definite that he went early, but it definitely looked like it. And I think Fox knew that also, which is why they didn't show you the miles per hour of the cars as they were coming to the line. Because if they did, you would have seen Denny jumped. He jumped the start. It's plain and simple. Now, we're going to move on from this. NASCAR is not going to do anything about it. Maybe in the future, they decide to enforce this a little bit more. It's the restart zone for a reason. My biggest problem with this isn't the fact that they didn't take the win away from Hamlin. It's the fact that Denny Hamlin, and it says that it's subjective. It's not a hard restart zone. That's my problem, because if that's true, why do we have the restart zone? If you can gas it up whenever you want, what's the restart zone for? I'm really curious. I'm not mad. I'm not. And I know you might be surprised. Like, why isn't he mad about this? Because I'm not surprised. That's why. I'm not. 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. I want to hear from you, the listeners. If you watched Richmond, if you saw the final restart, what do you think of that last restart? I think Denny jumped it. I don't think there's any way that you can go around it and say, well, maybe he didn't. Maybe it was a little early. He jumped the restart. And NASCAR didn't do anything about it. So I understand why Truex is mad, and he drove mad in those final two laps. I don't know what his problem with Kyle Larson was, and it was funny listening to Kyle Larson after the race say, yeah, I think he was just mad, and I was the one that was there so he could take his anger out. I am happy, however, that after that happened, when we saw Truex just yank the car down the track into Larson going down the backstretch for no reason, I am glad that Larson didn't let him pass him. Because that would have been bad. Not bad, but wouldn't have been what was wanted. He jumped the restart. We're not going to do anything about it. It's not a hard restart line. Maybe we get rid of the restart zone. Let's just go back to the flag man starting the race. What was so hard about that? So we move on from Richmond. And as we look at the NASCAR standings, Martin Truex Jr. does still hold the lead in the regular season points over Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin, Ty Gibbs, and Ryan Blaney. William Byron and Denny Hamlin, both of those drivers now have multiple wins on the year. They're the first two drivers to get those multiple wins on the year. And a little update on our buddy in the 22 car. Joey Logano, do we remember the terrible start to the year that he had, wrecking out of Daytona, wrecking out of Atlanta, and being 30-something in points after two races, not having a good third race? Well, now Logano's up to 19th in points, which is fine because he's only a couple of spots behind the cutoff line at this point. And if you had to bet on it, I would say Joey would be able to get himself into the points. Which is why which is part of why I say that the points don't matter anymore. And that's not the reason why. I expected Logano to work his way into the top 16. But if he didn't, all he had to do was win a race. And we got plenty of time left. So this Sunday, we head to Martinsville. The Cup Series heads over there, as well as the Xfinity and the Trucks. Weekend schedule is followed. Friday night, 7:30, the Long John Silver's 200. That's the Craftsman Truck Series. They will be racing. 7:30 on Saturday will be the Xfinity Series race, the Dude Wipes 250. And then on Sunday, we have the Cookout 400 at 3 o'clock Eastern. You can listen to that race right here on WSIC. Coverage beginning at 2 p.m. broadcast by the Motor Racing Network. I love Martinsville. I do. I'm a little bit weirded out by why we have two night races and one day race. It doesn't seem to make sense to me. I did like the Martinsville night race, but as we heard in the past, I forget who it was who we talked to from MRN who said Martinsville is just not a track that performs well in the cup cars when it's not hot, when the sun is not beating down on that racetrack. And I get it. You know, those cars aren't good short track cars to begin with. And there's a lot of ways we can fix that. I don't know if I want to get that into that today because I'm just going to start saying, hey, where's the horsepower? Why is there no horsepower in the car? Anyway, Sunday, April 7th, 3 o'clock is when the NASCAR Cup Series race will begin. Wrapping up Richmond one more time. I told you you could see Martinsville here on WSIC. You also listen to Richmond here on WSIC. One more time, here is the MRN 1 minute race recap.
Two by two as the pace car hits the pit lane. Eyes on Joey Aycock on top of the flag stand. Green flag is in the air, and we're racing the Toyota Owners 400.
Stage win number three on the season for Kyle Larson. Stage win number one in 2024 for Martin Truex Jr.
Here's Larson back to the outside, but he's got to yield. Truex will grab the lead in a bold move off the end of the front straightaway.
Off the corner, it's Kyle Larson on the front straightaway. Away. Larson spins. Caution is out with two to go. We're going to overtime at Richmond Raceway.
It is a race off from pit road, and we'll see who's going to do it. Denny Hamlin. Hamlin wins the race off from pit road.
Logano with one final shot for Hamlin and the win at Richmond.
Checkered flag is waving at the start-finish line out front when it mattered the most, thanks to a wicked fast pit stop and Denny Hamlin across the line, and he will win the Toyota Owners 400.
That is the 1 minute race recap from MRN. By the way, I talked about the NASCAR SVP of competition, Senior Vice President of Competition, Elton Sawyer. Even he says, in his own words, Denny went a little bit early. But he then says, you know, if it was 10 to go, we would do something about it. Changing the rules as you go. Congratulations, NASCAR. I'm not even going to talk about the change in how many debris cautions there have been since we started the stage racing. We don't have to talk about that, but look into it if you're curious. Look at the amount of debris cautions we got before stage racing and after stage racing. And then tell me NASCAR doesn't make it up as they go. Still love NASCAR. I'm still going to watch on Sunday. Martinsville is always a great race. Whether the cars are built for the short track or not, always puts on a show. Thank you everyone for tuning in to the Scoreboard here today on WSIC. I'll be here same time tomorrow as always. Well, now it's the new time, so you're going to get used to me in this 5 o'clock hour. I'll be here same time tomorrow, guys. Don't worry about it. Until then, have a good one, everyone, and I'll talk to you then.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.